All right, let's take our Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please, tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm very happy tonight to preach this message simply because Pastor Myers asked me to preach it. So if you don't like it, blame him. It's my message, but it's his request, and so we'll get right into it tonight. Thank you. How's everybody doing out there in the cheap seats? We doing okay? Everybody all right? Do they call you bleacher bums when you have to sit out there under the, you know, it's like a baseball thing or something like that? Only get to see. Can you hear me? Wave at me if you can hear me. One lady's going, no, I can't hear you. You know what that means. Can you hear me? No. Okay, let's try it again. Never mind. All right, good. So, can you hear me now? How about you doing, ma'am? Are we good? Yes? No. Now she can't do anything because she thinks like, all right, never mind. I'm sorry. That's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's stand together tonight. I know you teenagers are tired. You ran around and kicked the ball. How many played soccer today? Did you play soccer today? Was that part of the thing? No? Thank God. Soccer's for queers. I mean, I'm going to tell you that right now. Ain't no man running around in shorts kicking a ball. I mean, come on now. Look at me, people. Look at me. No. Football, that's like somewhere in another country. Football, that's when you hit somebody so stinking hard the mama feels it. See, in soccer, you run around, you kick the ball. Let's kick the ball. Let's go kick the ball. And you come. And then if you fall down, you get grass stains on your shorts. No. That's not even a sport. I'm sorry. I know that. I get myself in trouble everywhere I go, but no. Football. Hike, you know, tackle, blow somebody out of their shoes. Football. Not, you know, soccer. When you kick them off, you know, soccer. When you kick them off. Okay. But I know you're tired, young people. You're wore out from running around in the sun, and, you know, you're 15 and your energy's gone. That always cracks me up. You know that? I just think that's fantastic. But anyhow, so we're going to take a few minutes tonight and cover a subject that is very important to your Christian life. Before I get into it, I want to say thank you for my wife and I for allowing us to come. You're very gracious to us, Pacific Baptist. We appreciate the motel room and then the opportunity to be here and be a part of this youth conference once again. There is something very special about this youth conference. I preach a few of them, and I think they're all pretty unique and special. This one in a very particular way is very special. And so whenever I'm asked, I always appreciate the opportunity to come and to be a part of this. Now, for some of you, how many of you never heard me preach, I mean, before this meeting? How, you never heard me preach before? Really? Most of you heard me preach already? Okay, now listen carefully. So you remember that I'm a jerk, right? Right? Got that? But don't be so excited to say yes, okay? But so if I say something that insults you, like this poor lady out here, I can't hear you. Then how did you? No, never mind. So if I do something and I act like a jerk, don't go, well, what's up with that guy? I told you. I reminded you I'm a jerk. So I like to pick on people. Before it's over, I'm going to pick on Spanky down here. He was walking around with a worm from the activity. And are they still out here? We still got the worms? They're in the back? Are you sure? You're chewing something. What are you chewing on? Gum? Oh, you're chewing gum. Okay, well, I thought, you know, you get a worm. So before it's over, we'll have a little bit of fun with some things, but it's a pretty serious subject tonight. We're going to get right into it. But again, thank you. I love Brother Myers. I respect him as I respect no preacher that I know. And I respect most preachers, though I don't like most preachers I know. I respect him tremendously. Brother Ross, the staff of this church are exceptional people. Pacific Baptist Church, this church has always, to me, held a very special place in my esteem of a church. And I mean that. And I'm not trying to warm you up because I'm not trying to get an offering out of you, okay? I mean that. Over the years that I've known of this church and been a part of it here and been able to come and be a part of it, my esteem for you is extremely high. And I respect you like I respect very few churches that I know. And so I thank you and I appreciate you very much tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. And that's the last time I'm going to be nice for the rest of the sermon. So I hope you enjoyed that. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Good. Oh, by the way, for you folks who are here tonight, you weren't with us this morning, we do a little Baptist aerobics. So if I say stand up, that's just for the teenagers. You folks that worked all day long out there, you don't have to stand up, okay? But they're going to, look here, about 10 minutes into the message, they're going to do the Danny the Diver and Billy the Bobber. Boom, boom, boom. And like, so then I'll say, okay, stand up. Well, that's just for teenagers. That's not for any adult. You don't have to stand up if you don't want to. You can just sit there and look at me, and that's fine. But we do a little Baptist aerobics to keep them with me, and we'll get into it. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Go to chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now look at me just a moment. I'll give you a quick history lesson. In the 1920s, 1930s in America, theological liberalism got into our churches and our Bible colleges and our seminaries because people who believe the Bible, now look at me folks, people who believe the Bible, who just believe it literally, that when God said he created the world in six 24-hour periods, it means he created the world in six 24-hour periods. And we're not looking to evolution to question what we believe. I refuse to go to the zoo and believe I throw peanuts to my relatives. Okay, are we clear about that? Are we good? You say, well, you don't understand science, Pastor Johnson. I'm not looking, I've never seen anything, a case that looked like any relative I ever had. A couple blind dates in high school, we won't go into that. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to do that. Literal Bible believers, listen to me, we believe and just take the Bible on face value. The Bible says it's so, it's so. If the Bible says it's not, it's not. But whatever the Bible says, we're just going to take it that way. Literal interpretation of the scripture. Well, because of that, there are those who had begun to get degrees of learning, and that's not a bad thing, but they got degrees of learning, and they said, well, wait a minute. I mean, there is the theory of evolution, and the idea of a virgin-born son of God who lives a sinless life, who dies and then rises from the dead. I mean, all of that flies in the face of man's understanding of science and biology. So, and rather than just stand up and say, too bad, that's what we believe, people went to other so-called theologians. Now, every time you hear the word theologian, you do like this. Because usually most of those people think they're smarter than God. They go to these theologians over into Europe and they bring them into our Bible colleges in America. And these guys who were highly respected men had all the letters at the end of their name. You know, PhD, HIV, BVD, you know, TMI, all these guys. They had all these initials at the end of their name. Everybody thought they were so brilliant that they could stand up and say, well, it's not a literal six 24-hour period creation. It's actually... And a virgin born, I mean, that's never happened in the history of mankind. And it never has, except once. Hey, and it ain't never happened since then either. But since that they say, look, that's more figurative than literal. And they questioned what the Bible said and even tried to change it. Well, that kind of liberal theology got into our Bible colleges, went from our Bible colleges to, you know what, to our preachers, to our pulpits, to our churches. So in the 1940s, a group of men got together and they said, look, let's establish what it really means to be a Bible-believing Christian. And they established what are called six cardinal doctrines. And those six cardinal doctrines had to do with who Jesus is. That he is virgin-born, that he lived a sinless life, that he died a substitutionary vicarious death, that he bodily rose from the dead, that he is God in human flesh, And that one day he will literally return to this earth. Literal second coming of Christ. Those are six doctrines. And they're all about Jesus. By the way, later on they would add a seventh one, and that is this. That the Bible is the inspired, infallible, and errant word of God. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. There are no errors in this book, and it will not lead you to live a life of error. Though that only went over with a couple amens. Am I in the right place here? I just want to make sure I'm in a Bible-believing place, right? These are all Bible-believing churches. Okay, good. Now, hey, don't ever just say, okay, well, everybody believes that. Well, no, everybody doesn't believe that. So those seven doctrines began to be established in the 1940s, and that's what made you a fundamentalist. But by the 1970s, there were a group of people who embraced those same doctrines who didn't agree with a lot of stuff that we as Baptists believe, which comes from the Bible too, by the way. So independent Baptists decided to establish three doctrines that distinguished us as independent fundamental Baptists. Those three doctrines, number one is soul winning. House to house, aggressive, door to door, missions minded, bus ministry, jail ministry, rescue mission, nursing home, house to house, go get them, soul winning. And that includes missions. You can't be a soul winning church and not be a missions minded church. You can't be a missions minded church and not be a soul winning church. You have to have both of those. That's number one, soul winning. The second one is what's called the scriptures. That the King James Bible is the inspired, infallible, and errant word of God for us today in the English language. Not a new King James, not a revised King James, but a King James Bible. That it is the inspired, infallible, and errant word of God for us today in the English language. And it has no mistakes in it, and it doesn't need correcting. Are we good? Okay, that's the second doctrine. And the third one is where we're going tonight, and that's the doctrine of what's called separation. The doctrine whereby, look at me, whereby you and I live in the world, but not of it. That we live a life that is distinctive and different from the world. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. That doctrine of separation applied to what we did, who we worked together as with churches, called ecclesiastical separation. It's a doctrine of separation that applied to what's called secondary separation, who you fellowship with as a Christian. When a brother walks disorderly, you still love him, but you withdraw yourself so that brother can get his heart right with God. Secondary separation. And the third doctrine of separation is personal separation. That's whereby you and I live in the world, but not of it. We don't go and hide in the woods, and we don't go live in caves, but we don't live like the world lives. And there is a separation between us and the world in which we live. Now then, one more thing, I'll sit you down. Look at me. When I came to an independent fundamental Baptist church and heard about separation, it was in Sacramento, California, 1975. I came to an independent fundamental Baptist church. I had already been saved. I grew up as a Southern Baptist as a kid and heard the gospel, believed the Bible. I didn't know anything about separation. And I heard them talk about that. I thought, what in the world are these guys talking about? They started messing with my thinking, my attitude, my associations, my affections, my fellowship, who I spent time with, what I wore, what I looked like, who I listened to, what kind of music. I mean, they started getting in my life. Then somewhere down the road, I made a decision that if someone could show me from the Bible what they believed, I'd believe it. And by the way, that'll always make you an independent fundamental Baptist. Always. So when I first started going to these independent Baptist churches, separation, personal separation was preached, but not very well explained, to be honest with you. Hey? They didn't explain it real well. So tonight I'm going to take the doctrine of separation. I'm going to talk to you about the why. Why do we live a separated life? Why should a family be separated from the world in which they live? Why should a Christian be separated from the world in which they live? Father, bless tonight, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, stay with me very carefully. And if I say stand up, that's just teenagers. Unless you want to stand up. That's strictly up to you. In this matter of personal separation, now look at me, stay with me tonight. In the matter of personal separation, there are two distinct areas we need to be concerned with. Two. Look at chapter 7 and verse number 1, please. Chapter 7, verse number 1. Look in your Bibles, please. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Look here. Two areas of personal separation that are key, essential. flesh and spirit. You know what that is? That's flesh. It's not talking about your carnal nature. It's talking about this stuff right here. Look here. The outside, the external, that literal flesh, the outside. And the word spirit in the Bible here is lowercase s. That's your spirit. That's the inside. Okay, now look here. Look at me. So what's most important, the area of personal separation? What's most important, the outside or the inside? On three, tell me which one you think is most important. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, here's the answer. Both. Does God, look at me, people. Does God put both in there? See, we're buying something from the neo-evangelicals we shouldn't even be renting. Well, all that really matters is what's on the inside. That's the most important thing. That is important, and that is critical. But that's not all God talks about. Now look in your Bible. In priority of Scripture, what does he mention first, outside or inside? Flesh first, then spirit. Does that mean the outside's more important? No, look at me. Our problem is this. We're trading one for the other. What God wants us to do in the area of our personal separation from the world in which we live is this. He wants us to do both at the same time. He wants us to make sure that the outside is right and the inside is right. Because I guarantee you, if you don't get the heart right, the outside will never get there. And I can guarantee you this, if the outside is right and the inside is not, you're not going to stay in the Christian life either. We need both of these things. But if you want to really get technical with the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter, we won't turn over there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 19 says, what? Know you not that you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice he mentions the body first. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your what? Body, a living sacrifice. Why does he say body? Because body is the house of the soul the house of the spirit. And if you give him the body, you're giving him everything. The point is, you don't trade one for the other. And I know, ladies and gentlemen, please don't give me that neo junk. Well, I know people who are all right on the outside, they're all wrong on the inside. That shows why that's wrong. No, that shows that they need to work on the inside too. Yeah, I know people got every biblical conviction they need to have externally and internally. They're rotten as they could possibly be. But that doesn't change what God tells me to do. You understand? You don't trade one for the other one. And look at me. People say, well, Pastor Johnson, doesn't the Bible say man looketh on the outward appearance, whereas God looks on the heart? True. Now, why do we interpret that to mean that what's on the outside doesn't matter? Look at me. Because it does matter. Hey, look up here. The choir walks out. All the men are wearing dresses, and all the women are wearing pants. Now, for most people, the pants on the women thing's not going to be an issue. But for a guy wearing a dress, they're going to think, now, what's going on here? Huh? Brother Ross gets up here to lead something, and he's wearing a mini skirt and fishnet stockings and high heels. And a nice pink blouse. Hey, don't tell me you're gonna look at that and say, well, that's nice. I bet his heart's right. Now, look at me. For some of you, you're looking at me like it doesn't matter and you need to get something straightened out in your thinking. Now, look, if I came up here in a miniskirt, truth is, I got cute legs. But the truth of the matter is, what do you mean, oh, you ain't seen them? Besides that, look at your little skinny legs, Jack. They look like gravy stains on somebody's britches. What are you talking about? The truth of the matter is, but it does matter. Because here's the point. All we can see is what's on the outside. That's all we can see. I don't know what your heart is like. I can tell you right now, some of you are looking at me like, I know where this guy's going and I don't like it. Well, go ahead and get right with God at the start of the message and you can get in on the rest of it and you'll like it. But your countenance tells me what's going on in your heart, and that's an outside thing that reveals the inside. The point isn't let's trade one for the other one. Let's do this. Let's get biblical and work on them both. Flesh and spirit. Now keep your Bibles open. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. I'm going to give you the why. See, I think some of the reason people are leaving the areas of separation in their life is because we're not teaching them what it is. We're not teaching them the why of separation. Hey, when I went to an independent Baptist church, that guy didn't teach why nothing. He just nailed me for something. You stinking idiots out there listening to that rock music. Do you know you're listening to Hail's and Afterlands? What's wrong with you? And I thought, well, I grew up with it. I used to play the drums. I mean, it was part of my life. He never said there's over 700 verses of music in the Bible and taught what biblical music was. He never explained the why of it. Hey, look up here. And I had long hair. Hey, baby. I had my long hair. It was the 70s, you know. And he'd say, you stinking sissies in your long hair out there. And then he'd point at me. And I was the only dude in the room with long hair. And being from California, I was going to share a little with him. So I went, yeah, Rev, watch this, baby. Woo, woo, woo. Ow, that hurt. You know, he never went over to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 where it says, does not even nature itself teach you of a man have long hair? It is a shame unto him. Why didn't he show me that from the Bible? You say, what about Jesus? He had long hair. You're taking the word of a 17th century homosexual Catholic artist of what Jesus looked like who never saw Jesus. I know what the Bible says. But see, they didn't explain that. So I got stuck on something. So that's what this message is tonight. All right, go stand up. Again, that's just teenagers. You adults don't have to do anything. I know you need to save your energy. Some of you got one foot in the grave, another one on a banana peel. So I'm good with that. But just the teenagers standing up. Teenagers, stand up. Teenagers, stand up. How do you say stand up in Spanish? Siéntate, right? No, that's it. Huh? One more time. Good, you got it right. Okay, here we go. Now, here's the thing. You guys are sharp as bowling balls. Here we go. All right. Reason for separation number one. Look at verse number 14. It says, and look in your Bibles now. When I say look in your Bible, I mean look in your Bible. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You are to be separated in your life from how you live your life in the world in which you live to prevent a yoke. Okay? Come here, shorty. Let me use you. What are you waiting for, applause or something? Come on. Yeah. ¿Cómo se llama, hermano? Huh? ¿No habla español? No? What's your name?
Felix.
Felix. All right, Felix, we're going to be good buddies right now. Okay, Felix, are you ready?
Yes.
Try to contain the enthusiasm, son. You're going to burn out before the whole illustration's over. All right, stay with me. Now we're going to do something a little strange, Felix. I'm going to put my arm around you like this. I want you to put your arm around me. Are you with me? A yoke made two people do the same thing. Sometimes it was made out of wood. Sometimes it was made out of metal. Sometimes it was made out of leather. They used it on animals. They get two to do the same thing like one. I need to live in the world, but not of the world, because if I don't, I'm going to get yoked up with things God never intended me to yoke up with. Because you see, this yoke will make this guy do what the other guy does. And so they're going to be going the same direction, living the same way, acting the same thing. In that list of things there in verse number 14, it talks about stuff you're not supposed to put together. Light with darkness. Christ with Belial. Belial in the Bible is another name for the devil. You don't put Jesus and the devil together. Hey, that's why you don't listen to music that sounds like it comes from the world, but you put Jesus on it. That's wicked. No. That's a yoke. That's an unequal yoke. We live separate from this world so that, see, Felix and I, we're stuck together. We're going to be buddies, right? Everywhere we go, I go. And I bet if Felix tried to get me to go somewhere I didn't want to go, he couldn't make me because I got him yoked up with me. That's why you got to be really careful. If you don't live a separated life from the world in which you live, you know what will happen? You'll yoke up in the wrong kind of friendships. You'll yoke up in the wrong kind of associations. You know what you'll do? Well, you'll get involved in a sports activity of some kind. But it always happens to practice on a church time. Huh? You out there playing soccer? Kicking the soccer. You play soccer, Felix?
No.
Good man. Good man. Muy machismo, man. That means you're really a man, son. No habla español, Felix? Huh?
No.
Nope. Too bad. You know, we're going to be speaking Spanish in heaven. Did you know that? Hey, if there ain't Mexican food in heaven, I'm not going. But there is, because there's the Chicano glory around the throne of God, brother. I'm telling you. Yeah. They ain't carne asada. I'm out of there on the first day. I'm going to tell you that right now. So here's the deal. Truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing. Why is it that we never, look here, we get hooked up with the world. We yoke up with the world. all of a sudden, whatever the world does is more important than what God wants us to do, because you're yoked with them. See, you're tied up with these people. That doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't care for them. It means you do not yoke up with the world. Otherwise, what the world wants, you're going to want. What the world does, you're going to do. Oh, and by the way, and here's what you'll say. Well, it's just for a couple of weeks. Sports is a religion in America today. It's a religion. It is. We got kids starting out at 7, 8 years of age, going to baseball camp all summer long, going to basketball camps and all this kind of stuff, and spending all this time practicing to play a sport that they're never going to play once they're past 18, 19 years of age, unless they get old and fat and get out on a basketball court somewhere and pull muscles trying to do jump shots. It's unbelievable. But you know what? The world will tell you, well, that's what you need to do. Oh, and you yoke up with the world. You know what you'll do? You'll go to their schools instead of God's schools. And you know what, young people? Listen to me. Look at me. College is where you're probably going to meet the person God has put together for you in your life to be married to. And if you're a guy, that's a girl. And if you're a girl, it's a guy. And it's a guy who stays a guy and a girl stays a girl. Okay, we just have to explain everything. But the truth is, that's the truth. That's why this thing about going to Bible college, this is very important. You're probably going to meet the person there God has put you together with for the rest of your life. Hey, go to a heathen school and see who you're going to get yoked up with. Don't trip me, son. I'll fall on top of you. I'll crush you to death. Felix, how much do you think I weigh?
200.
God bless you. Just lied to church. Okay. Truth of the matter is, be seated, please. The truth is, this yoke, it prevents a yoke. To live a separated life, mom and dad, listen to me. You let your kids yoke up with this world, then don't be surprised when they act like the world, when they talk like the world, when they have the world. Look at me. They have the world's priorities. What the world considers is important. You yoked them up. Don't do it. Well, the kid just has to sit home and do nothing. No, that's why you go to a local New Testament Bible believing independent fundamental soul winning separated King James Bible preaching hellfire and damnation premillennial pre-tribulation temperamental Baptist church, and let them get yoked up there. Oh, in case you think I happen to be, you know, like an idiot, which I will prove further into the message. It doesn't mean everybody at church is somebody your kids ought to yoke up with. But I'll tell you what, truth is, now look at me. The truth is, if you're going to find the right ones, you're going to find them in a church, a good church. Hey, a good church, not some church. Well, they believe the Bible. I'm sorry, but I'm Baptist. I'm Big B Baptist. I'm sorry. Okay, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. To prevent a yoke. Number two, look at verse 16 and 17. You know the why of separation is to prevent a yoke. Number two, it is to enhance your fellowship with God. Now sit up and look at me. Look at it. Look at verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. See, dwell and walk, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Fellowship. You know, dear people, I want to live separate from this world because it enhances my fellowship with God. Now, here's the sad part. For most Christians, that's not a big a deal. It isn't. Hey, rouse the three sleeping brethren on the front row right there. Wake them up. Hey, pay attention. Here we go. There's a good job. There we go. It enhances your fellowship with the Lord. Hey, excuse me. Now, that should be a priority with us. The closer I get to God, the better my life will be. And let me tell you something. The sweeter life will be. Some of you, I can just look at your face. Bless your heart. My heart goes out to you. Something's between you and God. I don't know what it is. And it's robbed you of all your joy. Brother Ross was talking about those preachers, Brother Gray and Brother Ray and I, how much fun we have together. We have fun in life. You can't help but have fun with Mike Ray. The man's crazy. No, he's literally, I think he's nuts. I asked him one day, I said, dude, is that your head or is your neck blowing a bubble? I mean, the man, You got to watch him constantly. Hey, we were in a restaurant one night, him and I and Pastor Rule. We'd been preaching together somewhere. We stopped in a restaurant, get a bite to eat. We sit down. I said, give me some water. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I get up and go to the bathroom. Ray turns to the waiter, the guy. He says, look, I'll give you $20. When that guy comes out of the bathroom and sits down and asks what you're going to ask him what he wants, first I want you to lean over, get right up close to his face, and go, what can I do for you, sweet boy? Now, a couple of your guys are going, what restaurant is that? You know, I'm a little worried about you right now. I come back, I sit down, and the waiter goes, they've ordered what? And he goes, they guys have already ordered. And he leans over, he gets right close to my face, and he goes, and what would you like, sweet boy? I just look at Ray, I said, I'm going to kill you. And then I'm going to kill him. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I know some of you think, you know, this church thing, man, it's so boring. This kid, I'm going in the mall one day, and there's a bunch of guys hanging out in front of the mall, you know, hanging. Got a hat on sideways. Even a duck knows where the bill's supposed to go, man. I mean, got the hat on sideways, pants pulled down with a little Spider-Man underwear hanging out, you know. Doing like that, and I thought, oh, poor guy's got cerebral palsy. Look at that. It's terrible. So I go up to him, I take out track. I said, bro, I'd like to invite you to church. And the guy goes, no, man. I said, well, why not? He goes, church is boring. I said, really? What are you doing? He goes, I'm hanging with my peas, man. I'm hanging. I said, oh, I don't mean to take you from your exciting life leaning against that wall. While you pick fuzz out your belly button and knit a sweater for your grandma. But if you'd like, you could go. And this guy just starts looking at me like, what? I had fun. The truth is, what is that? Boring? How boring is it to just sit around and play video games all the time? Yeah, don't put your head down. Sad part is some of you grown men, you're sitting out there playing video games at 3:00 in the morning. Get a life, my man. Some of you teenage boys, your thumbs are bigger than your neck because you play stinking video games. What is the matter with you? Okay, I got soccer, I got video games. I got a whole list of stuff to make you mad. If that doesn't work, I'll get on Taco Bell, In-N-Out, and McDonald's before it's over. Okay, stay with me. But the truth, oh man, that's the closest you've ever been to paying attention all week. The truth of the matter is, see, look here. There's something, people look at me. There is something about being right with God and knowing there's nothing between you and him. But let's be clear about this. Now look at me. We're talking about a holy, righteous God. You smack this world. The Bible said in James chapter 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Let me explain to you what that means. You're the enemy of God. How important is that? Well, I don't see why I can't wear that. So a piece of clothing is more important than fellowship with God. See, we're not looking at it right. So, I know, y'all, you're teenagers and you got your stuff and all that kind of stuff. When I was a teenager, Abraham Lincoln and I played on the same basketball team. I understand that. Okay, when I was a teenager, I got the thing about, you know, the clothes and the hair and you got to fit in and you got to do what they do and blah, 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 blah. I got all that kind of picture. I got that point. But when I started going to an independent fundamental Baptist church and I began to find out that there are some things I needed to do in my heart, my attitude, my actions. See, there's the internal part. That's your affections and your attitude. Yeah, good attitude. And what do you love? More importantly, who do you love? And the outside? Well, that's my associations and my actions and my appearance. These guys started talking about stuff, and I thought, what in the world? So that hair I had, hey, look at me. The hair, for instance, the hair I had. Woo, watching me rib. Woo, baby, watch it, man. So I went, I got me a haircut, and I got it cut over the ear a little bit like that. So I started styling it. Now, you weren't around the 70s, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you were there, huh? Blow dryer and a hairbrush, doing the Donny Osmond, right? Doing the hairdo. So that was shorter. Was better than the long worm. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was I want to know how close to the world I could be and still be close to what was right. That's why you don't ask us what's right with something, you ask us what's wrong with something. Anytime someone asks you that question, they're just trying to find out how close to wrong they can be and still be right. Come on, ask me what's right about your music. Ask me what's right about your friends. Ask me what's right about this. Let's get on the side of righteousness, because we're talking about a holy, righteous God. But I'll tell you something, young people. Hey, look at me. When I come out from this world, I separate myself unto him. The Bible said God said he would receive me. Has nothing to do with salvation. Has everything to do with fellowship. And you get closer to God, and all of a sudden, then the music, the whatever it is, friendships, whatever it is, and separation, it's no big deal if you weigh it against enhanced fellowship with God. You want to get close to God? You have to get holy. Yeah. But he will receive you. Hey, hey, I'm going to pillow my head tonight. Everything's okay with me and God. Is it with you? Or is there still that stuff you're hanging on to that's so important you think you couldn't live without it? Separation enhances my fellowship with God. Quickly now, you know what else separation, why it's important, is because it enables my discernment. Look at verse 17 and the two words, touch not the unclean thing. It enables my discernment. Look here. Okay, stand up, young people. Good. One more time. You're doing good. You're listening very well. I know it's been a long day. You've been out there in the sun, and you ran around and played, and you got all sweaty. And nobody on the front row took a bath, so thank God you're not up here. When they brought the worms out, I thought, is that a junior high boy in there? Hey, junior high boys, listen to me. Changing your underwear does not mean turning it inside out. Just want to share that concept with you. Touch not the unclean thing. Touch not. Okay, you've all been there, and I have too. Watch me. You're in an airport of business, and there's a sign. It says, wet paint, do not touch. It's like a magnet. I'm 65 years old. I got two honorary doctorates. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. I have to touch it. I have to touch it. You know why? Because I have to discern for myself. Yep, it's wet. Okay, it says... And then you look at it. What's hilarious is you look at it and there's all these fingerprints on there from everybody else who touched the thing, because it's a discernment issue. Now look at me. If you don't live a life separated like you ought to, you're going to lose your discernment ability. Look here, to even look at what's right and what's wrong and discern between the two of them, because the devil will take that away from you. The world will rob you. The darkness of this life will, you won't even be able to discern when the world says, well, after all, a guy could marry a guy because they love each other. Wrong. Dead wrong. Well, if that's the case, then you should be able to marry your dog. You say, oh, well, that's ridiculous, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, that's what they told people 25 years ago when we said you approve gay marriage. You're going to tear and destroy the institution of marriage that God made. If love's the issue, come on, how many people have ever come up to you and say, oh, I love that hairdo? Well, then you better marry their hairdo because you love it. Oh, I just love those. Those shoes are wonderful. First of all, if that's a guy, stay away from me, man. You're creeping me out, all right? That bugs the fire out of me because you love something. Love's got nothing to do with it. See, we've lost our discernment. Because we got so much into this world, it has robbed us of the simple understanding of right, wrong, good, bad, better, best, righteousness, unrighteousness. You see what I'm saying? You lose your discernment in being able to make a decision and look at something. That's why young people give up their purity so easily. It's not like it's new to your generation. It's been around for a long time. But seriously, see, some of you look at us and we say, keep your hands off the opposite gender. Don't be alone with somebody of the opposite gender. Don't do it. Don't do it. 74% of Christian young people who lose their purity in their own home, in their front room, with their parents asleep in the bedroom. But of course not you. You can do that. You can go be alone with a girl in the car, guys, and your flesh ain't gonna get up on that, right? Huh? Because the world looks at us and says, what are they talking about? Don't hold hands. Don't touch someone of the opposite gender until you're married. What in the world is that all about? Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. No, it's called discernment. No one ever messed up morally who wasn't alone with the opposite gender. It don't happen, man. We talk about being careful about don't be alone up in the middle of the night alone with a computer somewhere. I hope you killed that rat a long time ago. But what happens? The average young person sees their first pornography at the age of 11. And most of it from their parents' electronic devices, either their phone, their tablet, or from a friend. Because your parents won't let you have one, so you hang around a friend who does. And you know what's coming, and you know what they do, but because you broke down the barrier of separation between you and the world, you think you can go over there, and it won't mess you up, and it will mess you up. And there's young people right now, look at me. You're looking at me, and you can't even keep a pure thought about something or anything in your life because you're already addicted to that stuff because you didn't keep separate from the world. It robbed you of your discernment, and you don't just touch not, you embrace it. You made it a part of your life. See, I never thought separation would keep you alive, but it will in this day and age. Discernment. Thank you. Be seated, young people. You're listening very well, and I'm almost done. By the way, back up 1 second. I don't hate to see a preacher back up on a point because that means he may start all over, but I won't. If you look at separation and it enhancing your fellowship, if you look at it the right way, and here's how to look at it. It's not what you lose. It's what you gain. Well, then I won't get to. Oh, no, you're thinking about what you're going to lose. Yeah, but I won't have. But you're thinking about what you're going to lose instead of thinking about this. You know what you're going to gain? God's favor, his blessing. But for some people, that's no big deal. For me, frankly, man's approval is pretty shaky stuff. God's approval is consistent if I meet him on his terms. You'll lose your discernment without separation. Number next, you know why we have the why of separation? Look at verse number 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You see that? Oscar, let me use you a minute. Oscar, would you let me use you? Come on, Shrub. Come up here a minute. Brother, let me use you for a second, too. Would you please? Yes, sir. Come on up here, Oscar. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Oscar, I want you to stand right here. Good man. I want you to stand right here for me. What was your first name again?
Kyle.
Kyle. You got it right. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. You see, for most people, Christians today, they think you live in the world. What you're supposed to keep is your distance from the world. You keep a distance from the world. So we're going to use an illustration. Kyle is going to be a Christian. I hope you will be one day, Kyle. That's your parents' great desire, is that Kyle will become a Christian. Wants to become a chemist, which means he's cooking dope. But no, just kidding. That's not true. That stuff's too good to cook. Okay, here we go. So here's Kyle. He is a Christian. And here's my man, Shrub. Now, Shrub is going to be the world. You okay if I kid you about that, Oscar?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you, Oscar. My man, Shrub, okay? This guy is the world. And that doesn't mean Oscar's worldly because he certainly isn't. I know he's not. Now, Oscar, when I say this, make this statement, this phrase, and the world passeth away, I want you very slowly. Are you with me, Oscar? Okay. Dude, don't fall asleep standing up here. You'll fall over. And then we'll have to gut you to get you back in your chair. Okay, so, okay, Oscar, when I say, and the world passeth away, Oscar, I want you to very slowly move that direction, real slow. Okay, are you with me? Okay, good. So when the Christians today, most Christians today, they think I'm supposed to keep my distance from the world and thereby I am living a separated life. So here's the Christian and here's the world. But 1 John chapter 2 says, but the world passeth away. Give him a hand. He did good. Didn't he do good? Oscar, that's fantastic. Now come back over here. He can be trained. Okay, watch. Hold on a second. You did what? You just walked? Good. Good job. I'll give you. You don't even have to bark or anything. Okay, we go. All right, now, when I say the world passeth away, go a little bit slower, okay? Let's try. And the world passeth away. Very good. Come back here. Okay, here we go. Now, for most people as Christians today, they think the world, separation from the world in this area, come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord. It means you keep your distance between the Christian and the world. And the world passeth away, the Bible says. Now, for most people, here's what they think that means. As a Christian, you just keep your distance from the world. Don't fall off the stage, Holmes. Keep watch where you're going. Good. Now stop right there, guys. Here's the problem. Now the Christian is where the world used to be. That's why, look at me, that's why in our, even many of our independent Baptist churches today, we're doing stuff in our churches today that the world did 20 years ago, 25 years ago. But it's not what the world's doing now, so we're separate from the world because we have kept our distance. It's not how it works. Okay, you guys come back over here. You're doing good too, Kyle. Thank you. What's your area of chemistry you want to work on?
Agricultural chemistry.
Agricultural chemistry? So you want to do like fertilizer and stuff like that? He's close. Okay, now here. Don't look at me like that. I told you I was a jerk. Calling this man Shrub and he stinks. I mean, come on, let's stay with me. Only guy got out of it was my man Chico right here. Okay, so we're good to go. That means a little guy, in case you were wondering. My brother will explain it to you later. Now, here's what it's supposed to be. When the Bible says, and the world passeth away. This is what the Christian is supposed to do. See this? 1 John 2:17. See this? But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We hold our biblical position. I told you stop, buddy. Keep going. But I just watch where you're going so you don't run into something, okay? Now, here's a problem for our day today. Stop right there, Oscar. Thank you. See this right here? The distinctive, and that's what we're talking about in biblical separation. Distinctive is this. It's getting greater and greater of a gap between us and the world. Huh? It used to be when I preached to teenagers 40 years ago. You teenagers out there listening to Jimi Hendrix, you don't even know who that is. You're listening to your rock music. That is still wrong, by the way. But nowadays, that's nothing compared to what young people get themselves involved in. Because you know why? Because the world's way over here now. And the Christian, if you're holding your biblical position, because he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We got an anchor fast and certain and sure in our lives, and we hold on to that. Biblical truth isn't old, it's eternal. It lasts forever. And by what we do today, we ought to be doing 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, and it doesn't change. We hold our distinctives. But for some of you, this is too wide a gap. You can't handle that one. Sorry, but we are just too far from. There's just such a distinctive now between us and the world we live. Some of your parents tonight, you've given in. You gave in when your kid turned 13. All of a sudden, you couldn't handle it anymore, and you've decided, you know what? We need to back off a little bit. We're a little too strong on some things. Biblical principles don't change no matter how old the kid is, no matter where they go, no matter what they do. Bible principles do not change. We're to hold our distinctives. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever, the Bible says. We're to live a separate life that is distinctive from the world. Now, there's a passage in Corinthians that says that we abuse the fashion of this world but not abuse it. And the fashion doesn't necessarily refer to clothing, but it does refer. There are some things. You know what? It's not wrong to get a tithe maybe that goes along with some things. It's not wrong to dress decently. It's not wrong to have, you know, rainbow socks. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. As long as I'm not breaking down the distinctive between what the Bible says I'm supposed to be. And here it is, quickly. Stand to your feet again. Almost done. Right on the end of this thing. Stay with me. The distinctive is, in this area of personal separation, in the area of externals, is a guy and a girl are supposed to maintain the distinctive of what is masculine and what is feminine and what is modest. Now, you want to use the world's term for modest? Huh? What the world says modest is? That's in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. It's in the Bible, you know. A woman is to adorn herself in modest apparel. The key is the word apparel, kata stole. And it's a dress. But it means a well-arranged, well-ordered thing. So the tight, skin-tight thing where you look like you caught, you know, some women, they wear clothes so tight, they look like somebody caught a wildcat in a gunny sack. That ain't right either. And for guys, guy is supposed to look like a man. A man. He's supposed to look like a man. That 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It said, doth not even nature so. Come on, Kyle, move a little bit, son. You get relax, you know? Okay, good. Here we go. Doth not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Well, how long is long? Nature, the way of nature. See, every God made every man with a natural hairline. Loosen up, son. Turn a little bit. You're good. You're too cotton picking big to make me have to move you. See the natural hairline? See it? That's the natural hairline. Now, as you get older, I got to move that a tad, maybe. When he says he numbers the hair on your head, some guys give God the day off. You know, it's one of those deals. Okay, that's fine. But whatever the case may be. So the guy's hair should not exceed a natural hairline, and his hair should not cover his head. So let's see now, Kyle. Let me try something. No, don't turn yet, son. You're doing better. Can you see me back here? Of course you can't see me. Dude, you're looking that way. All right. Are these on his head? Okay, so it shouldn't cover his ears. Close your eyes. Are those on his head? Okay, so then it shouldn't get in his eyes. So a man's hair should not exceed the natural hairline. So that any angle you look at him, he looks like a man. But he shouldn't get a haircut where it looks like he got mugged by a weed whacker in an alley somewhere either, okay? Where they, you know, cut your mama in his head and that kind of stuff. There's a thing, guys. Listen to me. There's a thing. So it's just a distinction. So a man looks like a man. You guys with your skinny jeans. What is up with your skinny jean guys? Skinny jeans are invented by the homosexual crowd in the fashion industry. Look at me. So some guy that's a homosexual can scope you. Choke on that one for a minute, Holmes, and go home and get back out your chinos. I mean, let's get real for a moment. The truth of the matter is, you see, masculine, feminine, and modest applies to men and it applies to women. The point isn't that one area. The point is this. Hey, look at me. I need to live a distinctive life, so wherever I go. Tomorrow, my wife and I are going to go somewhere together. She'll be dressed like she's supposed to be dressed. I'll be dressed the way I'm supposed to be dressed. No one's going to wonder, well, I wonder what those people are. I stood next to people in an airport and think, not you, Kyle, but thought, is that a guy or a girl? I shouldn't have to flip a coin to figure it out. You say, well, you're being judgmental, Pastor Johnson. Yes. Don't judge me for my judging. Look at me. You're being very judgmental. Yeah, you're judging me for judging. Think about what your hypocrisy is. You're being critical, Pastor Johnson. Don't criticize my criticism. How come they get to do it and we don't? Because some little reverend with his Jiffy Lube hairdo and his little goatee and his tight britches is telling me I'm being critical just because I'm a fundamental Baptist. Choke on that one for a moment. The truth of the matter is, don't you understand something? Look at me. Don't you understand, dear people? There needs to be a distinctive between myself and the world. Thank you guys for coming. Oscar, thank you, buddy. Hey, thank you, chemist. You can be seated. You did really good, Oscar. You get an extra candy. Bless you, brother. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. Be seated and we're finished. There needs to be a distinctive in my obedience. Come out from among them. Cleanse yourselves. There needs to be a distinctive in my obedience. There needs to be a distinctive in my identification. The distinctive of my identification is I identify with God and a godly life. There needs to be a distinction of maturity, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Young people, please grow up. I was telling the fellas in our session the other day, I know 16-year-old young men who are just that. They're young men. That's right. They don't wait for their mommy to wash the clothes every day. They don't sit around going, I want those tennis shoes. Why don't you give me those tennis shoes? You want them that bad? Get up off your rusty backside and go get a job and pay for them. It's really simple. Grow up simply means keep maturing. Rather than be so immature. Hey, look at me, young ladies. Rather than be so immature, you can't even sit in a service and pay attention. But if we were playing video games, your eyeballs would be bugged out like a bug-eyed bullfrog in a hailstorm. We want to have the distinctive of a mature person where you grow up and you grow on. It's a blessing to come back here each year as I have for these last several years. Though some of you don't think it's much of a blessing now, but it was good up to that moment. And to see how so many of you young people, you're becoming young men and young ladies. And you can see the maturity and the growth in their life. Okay? And it's not by your age. There's 12-year-olds in this room becoming young men and young ladies because they've developed a maturity instead of a, well, I don't understand why we have to do this, and I don't think we ought to have to do that, and I don't understand what that. Now, that's a little whiny little boy, little girl. Rather than go, okay, God, what do you want from me? What, God, do you want from me in my life? And I will do it. Let's stand our feet, please, tonight. Invitation time now.